Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to be here as well.
Good to see you, or I guess I can't see you. Good to hear you. Oh, I can't hear you. Good for you to hear us.
Yes.
That's the way it works on a podcast, I guess. But yeah, glad to be here.
Yes. Right before this, I was trying to do the intro and mess that up, so that's probably going to be in the bloopers.
Yeah, probably so, but it's okay.
Yes. So we are back on the series that we're doing right now called Reasons You Don't Share the Gospel, and we're currently answering the question, what keeps you from sharing your faith?
Yep. So we're trying to figure out, you know, these main reasons why we as people, and I mean me and Steph too, mm-hmm. right? Because everybody does this. Everybody can improve in sharing the faith, making gospel, making disciples, being a witness of the gospel. So we're trying to talk through what are these reasons and then take these reasons and kind of talk through why they really shouldn't keep us from sharing the faith. But let's be realistic about what the reasons are. So, and when there's a study I ran across. And we've been talking about this now for, this is the fifth one, is that right?
Yes, the fifth one.
Yes, this is the fifth one. We've been talking through this for a while on the series, and I ran across a survey from the Jesus Film Project that they did, which was a pretty extensive survey of why Christians don't share their faith. And so as we walk through this, we're sort of getting the top answers that people give. So if you want to go all the way back to the first one in this series, I don't remember what, that would have been 217. I think, yeah, mm-hmm. 217. Yes. You'll see that the main reason people give is just fear, like they're scared to share, which I get. And so we talk through that, and then we talk through the fact that people don't share their faith because they feel like they don't have opportunities to do so. We talked about how that's probably not accurate, and then also, you know, you got to pray for these opportunities as well. And then in 219, we talked about the fact that people don't feel equipped to share their faith. That might have been the best episode we've done in a while.
That was great.
It was really good. I ended up taking that exact stuff, and I had to preach at our Caswell campus Sunday yesterday, and I ended up using some of the stuff from the podcast in that message. Because right now it's a rare time where we're doing something on the podcast that is in the same context as what we're teaching in our series, which we've never done before. So I end up using that. That's a really good, 219 is a really, really good one. And then 220 is people not sharing their faith because they feel like people aren't interested in it. They're not mm-hmm. interested in Jesus. They're not interested in their faith or whatever. We talked through that as well. And so today we're going to tackle in episode 221, mm-hmm. we're going to tackle the reason people give is I've been rejected too many times, so that's why I don't share my faith, right? Mm. That there's been rejection. There's been, you know, people, this is a little different than the not interested. This is, the not interested is you deciding that people around you are not interested. This is you've experienced ways in which people aren't interested and they've shut you down. You've been rejected by it. So rejection can take many forms, right? It can be all out directly to you, telling you how stupid you are, all right? Or it can be just ignoring you or whatever it may be. In some instances, it's having somebody kind of cut you off mid-sentence and say something like, I'm not really interested in hearing about that at this time, or I'm not really interested in, you know, what you have to say about your faith or Jesus or whatever your take is on it. And so it's just sort of being, in some instances, shut down. And that's a form of rejection. And then in some instances, it can just feel like abandonment, right, where people just go out of their way to avoid you because they don't want to be around you because they feel like, you know, this person is going to bring up something about Jesus or their faith or whatever, or it could be that you haven't even brought up anything. They just avoid you because they can feel the Christian in you. You know what I mean? Like they can, like it's just a natural thing that happens. And all of that kind of is rejection, and it's a reason people give for not sharing their faith. So maybe you're thinking this today and you're going, well, this is a reason I don't share it. It's because, you know, I've been rejected in the past. I feel like, you know, people ignore me or they don't want to talk to me about it, and so that keeps me from sharing my faith. That feeling of awkwardness can make it hard to speak up when the next opportunity presents itself, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, if it, this is a trauma response is what it is, right?
Yeah.
And even in something simple like this, it's a trauma response. If you are rejected quite a few times, the next opportunity you have to do something, the trauma bubbles up and it keeps you from actually doing it. Even if that rejection is not going to come from that person, right? You and I end up very easily projecting. It's funny because you and I just talked about some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Projecting what you think is going to happen into a situation, and it keeps you from doing it, even though that may not happen, right? And so if you've had multiple people, because what we've talked about in this podcast has been, you know, your workplace is a key place for you to be leading, you know, sharing your faith and making disciples, right? Because you spend your majority of your waking hours in your workplace. And so if you have a couple, let's just use an example. If you have a couple of instances of people in the workplace who you befriended or whatever, and you get an opportunity to speak into their life, and they say something like, I don't want to hear that Jesus stuff, or thank you, but no thank you. The next time you have an opportunity, you will allow, if you're not careful, you'll allow the trauma that happened there to make you think and just believe that this person's going to reject you too, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's real. It happens. You know, it's a very real thing. And this trauma response happens in all areas of our life, right? If you have 5 consecutive bad relationships, you'll walk into the 6th relationship thinking that the same stuff is going to go down, which is not fair to that person, right?
Right.
It's not fair to what God may be doing in this situation. And it's not fair to you, because it's probably not going to be the same thing. And so, but what happens is that it'll make you, you know, if you have that rejection, it'll make it harder for you to share the next time, right? Which is what I think people are articulating with this reason. But you got to recognize at some point that even though nobody likes rejection, like if you like rejection, you are a psychopath. Nobody likes rejection. So you got to recognize, though, that even though we all hate rejection, dealing with rejection is part of the Christian experience. It is part of following Jesus, is dealing with rejection. And it will increase, right? So, I mean, if we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, right, which is the craziest thing of all crazy things, right? We believe he literally rose from the dead and conquered all sin and death for us and made a way for us to be in relationship with Jesus, then it should not be a very hard jump to believe that he's going to return. Right. And if we believe he's going to return, then we also believe the things that he says. Right. And the things that the Bible tells us, that it is going to get harder, increasingly harder in the culture to be a Christ follower. So this idea of being rejected for our faith is going to increase. Right. And so it is just a part of the Christian experience. You should not expect to accept Jesus and now you are loving people, loving him, we say proving it, and everybody's going to be like, oh, I just love that person. I just love that Christian. I just love that. You know, oh, yeah. They're just so awesome. They're the greatest in the world. Like, that's not going to happen.
No.
I remember feeling this way. When we planted the church, I thought that it would be the greatest thing. I thought that people would just love it. Right. And I don't mean people attending. I thought the greater Christian community would like it. I thought that other pastors and churches would be like, oh, this is awesome. This young guy is planting a church and this is going to be great. And what I realized was that was true with some, but it wasn't true with others. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was not true. It was, you know, they're a cult and this is weird. And why would you plant a church when you're in the city of churches and there's all kinds of churches you could just go into? And, you know, like, there was rejection involved in it. And that was coming from Christians, right? You know what I mean? So, you know, this idea that you're going to be a Christ follower and you're going to live this life that shows the gospel and everybody's just going to love it and think you're the greatest is false, right?
Yeah, it's false.
It's a fairy tale. Rejection is part of the Christian experience. And what we have to always do is we have to look at Jesus and think, all right, he's Jesus. He's perfect. And whatever he encountered, as we follow in his footsteps as disciples, we're going to encounter those things too, right? And he doesn't really hold back on those. Like Isaiah prophesied that the coming Messiah, that Jesus, would be rejected, right? Like, Steph, will you read Isaiah 53?
Yes.
Verse 3.
Yes. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem.
Yes, we did. You know, there were all kinds of crowds following Jesus for a while. Then they started leaving. There was multiple times where they left. And then even in the end, you see the people who are closest to him in the world leaving him, right? I mean, Peter's the great example you have of this, denying him right there in the middle of it. You know, they all leave, right? They all leave. He is despised and rejected is what the verse says.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that culminates on him literally being murdered, and killed in that ultimate rejection. But it's not just that, it's people rejecting him too. You know, and so if our Savior has this happen, then why would we expect not to be rejected as well, right? This is part of it, right? I can't take this reasoning of, well, I've been rejected, so I don't share my faith. I can't take that reasoning and go, well, that's a wrong way to see it. You're not really being rejected. That's not true. You're going to be rejected. Jesus promised us that his followers would face rejection too. I mean, he literally says, if they hate me, they're going to hate you, right? He talks about us following him, picking up our cross and following him, right? Like, I mean, he tells several disciples, including Peter, that they're gonna die for this thing, right? That they're going to be rejected to that level. I mean, he's telling us that we are going to experience those same things. And he never downplays the hurt and rejection that we're going to experience. He never downplays that and excuses the fact that that's going to be the case, right? He's pretty blunt about it, that we're going to experience these things. But he also, though, it's like he doesn't downplay it. You're going to hurt. The world's going to reject you. If they reject me, they're going to reject you. If they hate me, they're going to hate you, right? But he also tries to change the focus. And I think that's how you handle this excuse. So I believe that all these things we're saying are honest, but excuses for why we don't share the gospel, right?
Yeah.
I've been rejected and hurt, so I don't share the gospel. It's an excuse. And so what Jesus does is he doesn't say, well, you won't receive rejection. Don't look at it that way. No, he says you're going to get it, but he also doesn't let it be an excuse. He changes it to us focusing on the future instead, focusing on what Jesus calls is the rewards, right? Let's look ahead to the future. Yes, you're going to have rejection, but try not to focus on the rejection. Try to focus on the future. Try to focus on the rewards. Like he says in Matthew 19:29. Steph, will you read that one?
Yes. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life.
Yeah. Do you see what he's doing? So there's no part of that verse where he's downplaying. He's saying there's plenty of you that are going to be rejected by your own families for following Jesus, by your own spouses, by your own brothers, by your own sisters, by your workplaces, by friends. You're going to be rejected for following me closely. It's going to happen. But he goes, look, pay attention to the future. There is something bigger and better for you in eternity. And you being rejected for my sake will not go unnoticed, right? And there will be bigger and bigger rewards than what you would lose here. That's what he's pointing to. He's trying to get us to focus on eternity, focus on the future. Sometimes following in our Savior's footsteps means taking a chance that others might turn away from you, right? Because that's what they did to Jesus. And, you know, Jesus is the great dividing line, right? Like, the gospel requires a response. And there's really only two options. I ended up preaching this kind of yesterday ad hoc, didn't even think about today. There's really only two options. You either reject Jesus or you submit to Jesus. That's it. It's the only options you've got, right? And so, you know, the gospel requires a response. And so if we follow him, that means, you know, you're going to take a chance that other people might turn away from you. And I should change that. The other people will turn away from you.
Yeah, they will.
They will turn away from you. They will not want to go that route, and they will turn away from you, right? I mean, Jesus gives us the example of the narrow path, right? He gives us the example of sheep and goats, and that the path is narrow. Most people aren't going to follow that narrow path. They're going to follow the wide path. And by following the wide path and you and I following the narrow path, they are going to reject you. It's just part of it. It's not that they might fall away from you. They might pull away. They will. The closer you follow Jesus, some of the people, maybe even a lot of the people, who you are around a lot and are close to are going to pull away from you. Right? It's just part of how it goes. Let's look at the last verse we'll look at real quick. And before I'm going to be real with you before we end this, is mm-hmm. Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Watch this.
Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me.
Yeah. I mean, he's pretty blunt, right? Mm-hmm. If they reject me, they're going to reject you. If they reject you because you are presenting me, then they rejected me, right? And that has bigger implications for eternity, right? So at the end of the day, yes, you're going to be rejected, but also if we're going to be rejected by somebody, let's be rejected by people and not be rejected by Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, that has bigger implications for eternity, right? You mm-hmm. know, I'm not going to stand before the people who rejected me, right? I'm going to stand before Jesus. And so I want to not reject him. And by not rejecting him means I'm going to open myself up to being rejected by other people, right? This is just part of following Jesus, right? You are going to be rejected. This is just part of actually living out the Great Commission and sharing your faith. You know, everybody's not going to listen, right?
Matter of fact,
most people aren't. If Jesus says the path's narrow, then that don't mean that, you know, that means that not a lot of people are going to listen to you. It doesn't mean that you're going to be the one superstar who everybody listens to, right? It means that the path's narrow. Not everybody's going to listen to you. Most people are not going to listen to you. Most people are not going to care, right? And then they're going to be like, push you away because I don't want to spend time with you because they're not really rejecting you. Do you hear what Jesus is saying in that verse?
Yeah.
They're not really rejecting you. They're rejecting Christ in you. That's what's happening. You know, and if I can be real with you for a second, real. It's hard to say that.
It is.
Real. If I can be real with you for a minute, fear tells us that sharing our faith will get us rejected, right? Also, the enemy wants you to keep your mouth shut, and he uses these past rejections to tell you, see, it'll happen again, right? You don't say anything because you're going to get rejected. I want to be honest. This level of rejection, it don't happen that often. If you actually live out and share your faith, this level of people telling you, I don't want to hear it, if you're doing it in this context. Now, if you're standing on a soapbox somewhere screaming at people, you're going to get rejected a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm being honest with you, if you are actually walking and loving people and walking beside them, and they know that you care before they know what you want to tell them, right? Because what's that old saying? It's people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that's
so
good.
So if people know that you care, and then over time you're able to share the truth of the gospel with them, you're living it out and you're sharing it with them, this level of rejection, it don't happen as often as you think it does, right? Yes, rejection is part of the Christian experience. Yes, it is going to increase. I'm not changing what I said earlier. I'm just saying that if you actually walk out and live the gospel with these people in your life like you're working with and be— they are going to listen to you more than you think. It doesn't mean they're going to follow Jesus. They probably won't, right? But if they know that you care about them, they will care about what you know and what you want to say to them. And so you can let this fear of rejection keep you from sharing the gospel, but I'm telling you, it's a little bit unfounded, right? If you actually walk it out, the people that are in your life will listen to you and want to be around you. They may not care what you say. They may not put their belief in what you believe in, but this level of rejection is sort of an unfounded fear, right? It's sort of an unfounded fear. And I know I'm kind of talking out both sides of my mouth on this episode. I get it, right? Because I'm saying you're going to get this rejection. That's the way it is. But then I'm also saying it ain't as bad as the fear makes it out to be, right?
Yeah.
The enemy wants you to keep your mouth shut, and it's going to tell you that everybody's going to reject you. Well, if you actually live out the gospel, you're salt and light in your workplace, wherever you are, people know that you care, they will eventually want to know what you think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to reject you in that way. And I'll be real with you. So in all my years of ministry, I was talking about this today because it's been a weird week and there's been a lot of crap going on. And so I was thinking about this and I was like, I have been pastoring for 25 years, right? And in those 25 years, I have had lots of conversations with atheists and agnostics. And there's not that many real atheists, right? There's lots of agnostic people. And I can count on like two times, Steph, where I've had somebody vehemently reject me witnessing or talking to them about my faith. Like two times. Two. Mm-hmm. Everything else has not been this level of deep rejection. They may not have been interested, but it's not been them going, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Shut up. I don't want to listen to you. You know, it's not been the case. And I mean, you know, deep argumentative conversations with very passionate people who do not believe in the existence of God. And yet I have had only two of those conversations end poorly, right? Now, it doesn't mean that they've all followed Jesus. As a matter of fact, only a couple of them have, right? But in all my years, there hasn't been this horrible level of rejection. If I am trying to live out what I believe, actually being humble in these conversations, trying to be salt and light, not just preaching at people, but living at people, right? Living it out. This level of rejection that we're talking about, it hasn't happened that often, you know? So I think a lot of this sometimes too is a ploy of the enemy to get you to keep your mouth shut, right? And of course he wants you to keep your mouth shut. I mean, what you are sharing is the key to life, right?
Yeah.
The freedom from sin and death and what real hope is and real joy and real peace is. And of course the enemy wants you to keep your mouth shut and not share those things, right?
Yeah.
And so he'll use these ways that you've been rejected in the past to make you be quiet and not risk being rejected in the future, right? What Jesus is going is, he's saying a couple of ways, risk it. Like the reward is worth way more. And then what I'm also saying to you is this level of rejection that you think might happen, it's probably not going to happen, right?
Right.
Not in this vehement, nasty way, right? It's probably not going to happen, you know? So I don't know that. I do think rejection is real. I do think you'll receive more of it.
And it depends on where you're at.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. But, and also it, what it really depends on is how you go about it.
Yeah.
Right. How you go about it.
Yeah.
If you're screaming at people and being hateful to people, right, then expect them to scream and be hateful back.
Yeah.
Right. If you are loving and kind and caring and you have their ear. See, that's a big thing about this whole thing, sharing the gospel. We ain't talked about this yet, I don't think. The big thing is to work hard to love someone so that you do have their ear, right? Right?
Like, yeah.
That's the key. You know, you speaking to someone who you don't have their ear is sort of your fault, right? Because I'm not saying you keep yourself quiet and don't share the faith. I'm just saying, if you don't have that person's ear, that they care what you have to say to them, right, then maybe you shouldn't say it to them. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you should instead pray for the person who will have their ear to be able to say these things to them and to show them Christ. You know what I'm saying?
So, yes.
Anyway, please do not let rejection be the thing that keeps you from sharing the faith. I think it's half unfounded, and I also think it's just part of being a Christian.
Right? Yeah.
It's just part of being a Christian. It's just... I mean, if Jesus got rejected, why would you expect not to? So, you know, to me, I don't know. To me, there's certain things I look at and go, well, and this all depends on how you do it. But when I start to experience certain things that Jesus experienced, I start to tell myself, well, maybe I'm doing something right. You know, it's like if you experience pushback or fight from the enemy, it's probably because you're doing something right. If you're not experiencing any pushback from the enemy, well, it might be because you ain't doing nothing significant for the kingdom anyway. You know what I mean? He don't need to push back on you. So that's my thoughts. I know the rejection is real, but you can't let it keep you from living out the gospel and sharing your faith with the people around you. So that's it. That's all on this one.
Well, it's a good one.
Yeah, pretty good.
Because people deal with rejections all the time.
All the time. And you will deal with it. But also, though, don't let yourself talk. Don't talk yourself into that it's that big a deal.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know how else to say it.
Just because it feels like a big deal.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is it ain't that big a deal.
Right? Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Jesus told so this is a cool one. This is off the notes. But Jesus told, he sends out the disciples two by two. And in that's the same section, happens in Luke. It's the same section where he says, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Pray for the Lord to harvest to send workers out into the harvest. And he sends them out two by two, and he gives them these instructions. And part of the instructions is you go anoint, you go heal, you go preach the gospel, you go share the faith. And when people reject you, he says, and I pay a lot of attention to this, he says, get the dust off your shoulders and your feet and move on. It's basically what he says, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yes, you're going to be rejected. What he's kind of saying in that verse is, so what? Right? Like it is what it is. If people don't want to accept it, if people don't want to step into it, then it is on them. You know what I mean? I don't mean you don't care or that doesn't break your heart in some way, but just move on.
You can't let it stop you from continuing to try to share with people.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. You just got to move on from it.
Keep moving.
Yeah. It's just part of it, you know? And really, if you want to get down to it, rejection is part of doing anything significant in life.
That's true. Right?
You know, anything. You go look and study how many people who had these grand ideas, who launched these grand products or these grand companies. Go pay attention and look at how many times they're rejected by investors or business partners or people to carry the products or whatever. I mean, it's massive. It's like hundreds of rejections before something actually happens. Anything you do significant in life is going to involve rejection. So, you know, brush the dust off and move on, right?
Brush it off.
Don't let it, you know, don't let it keep you from doing it. What Jay-Z said, that go on, dust your shoulders off. We should end now if I'm quoting Jay-Z. Go on, brush your shoulders off. You know, I don't even know if that's what he means by it, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know.
That also will wake you up if you're driving. He's like, he said, what about Jay-Z?
Said, what, Jay-Z? Some of y'all are magically in your car right now going, go on, brush your shoulders off.
Yeah.
What does he say? Ladies, it's pimps too. Go on, brush. See, I don't even know if we're quoting something we should be quoting, but regardless, that's what we got.
Right. We're going to at least reference a pop culture song here and there. Okay?
We can't help it. At least it's not Fergie this time.
Oh, true.
We've sang a lot of Fergie over the years.
Yeah. Just look back at the blooper reels.
Yeah. If you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to episode 200, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the last one. It's really funny. Steph and I sing a lot of Fergie.
That shows our age.
It does.
All righty.
Wrap us up, Steph. Bring us home.
All right. Well, thank y'all for joining us again, and we will see y'all next week.
See you later.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.